right, let's hitch them up and move them out. It's hour number two. Time for the Jeff and Erica newest update of the COVID Chronicles. One of our listeners said that that is a good name to use. We kind of like that too. The COVID Chronicles. What a horror show it all is. And it's getting worse. And we're not here to cover it up. We're here to try and expose it for what it really is. And what it really is not warm and fuzzy, as you all know by now. Now, there are things going on that is small little things. I'm going to share one little quick story with you in just a minute. Hello there, young lady.
Hi there. Happy
How
Friday.
Yeah, hi. Happy Friday to you. Yeah, yeah.
Thank you.
It's crazy. I had to go to the store today, and I walked past the pharmacy to get an over-the-counter item. And at the one end of the pharmacy counter is where you pick up your prescriptions. And there must have been 30 people in line. And the other end, about 20 feet away, is where you drop off a prescription. And it's here, you know, you put the script down and you leave. Anyway, I went to the other end and asked this guy a couple questions. But before I get to that, before I could get to this fellow to ask him, because I always try and do a little research directly with the horse's mouth on these things, there were two groups of people in front of me. One was a family, a mother, maybe a 10-year-old little skinny daughter, and a 16-year-old kid. And they were up there, and just as I got there, they were moving away from the window and going down, 15 feet further down, where there was a single chair against the wall. And that chair is where you sit when you're getting your COVID booster.
They do it right out there in public?
Yes.
Because here they take them into a kind of
That might have been, I honestly didn't see a needle go in, so I don't know. But you have to wait there until it's your turn to be injected.
Okay.
And these people were moved, they went over there and they sat down. And the couple that was left went up to the window I don't know how old they were, late 50s. They were yammering and saying, I don't know where my COVID card is. I don't know where it is, but we need to get that booster today. We both need the booster today. And the guy says, well, all right, let me look into this, da-da-da-da-da. So he had to look up their records and things. And they were in there to get the new bivalent double deadly booster. And I assume the first family was in there with that 16-year-old boy. He looked very nervous. He was sitting in the chair of doom, and they were probably going to shoot him up. So I'm just looking at this, and it is quite appalling. And so this older couple in front of me finally got squared away, and they moved off to wait their turn to get bivalent boosted. And so I moved up and talked to the guy. I had a question. I said, do you know who owns those shots that you're giving out? And he said, no. And I said, who do you think owns them? And he said, well, Pfizer owns one of them. And I said, no. He looked at me. He said, well, who, what do you mean? I said, they're owned by the Department of Defense and the Pentagon. And he looked at me like I had said something in an unintelligible language. And like, what the hell are you talking about? Anyway, I just let it go at that. And I said, I couldn't help it over here. Those people are here to get their boosters, the new booster. And I said, about how many booster shots are you giving here a day? And he said, geez, I don't know. I said, well, take a guess. He said, well, at least 50 a day. 50 a day.
Jeez, really?
I was shocked. I didn't think that people were, I mean, I didn't know the volume was that high. And this is just in every, it's a Rite Aid store. Rite Aid Pharmacy, and 50 a day.
Wow.
And that was a guess. He said it could be much higher, like 75.
Oh, my
God. He didn't
know.
It's all day long. So, yeah.
So this isn't going to end anytime soon. I mean, if there's still that many people clamoring for these things.
Oh, the older couple, they were clamoring. They said, well, we have to get our boosters today. I made an appointment. We have to get him today. So anyway, I look at these people now, and there's a kind of a matrix of emotions that you deal with when you look at these people. You feel sorry for them because they don't understand. They're not given the ability to make an informed decision about consent at all. They don't ask any. I listened. They didn't ask any questions about anything. They said, "I'm here for the booster." No questions. They didn't know anything. And the guy giving out the making the arrangements for the shots didn't know. He heard nothing about the Department of Defense, the Pentagram, none of that. So I mean, what a successful psyop this was. There's no contest. The people just rolled over for it.
As you said, you know, if they're in control of the media, they control the game.
They control reality.
Yeah, it's not real.
It's not real, but it's the reality that most people perceive as being reality. So it's a construct, and they control it, and they can change it anytime they want, and they do. Wow. I was amazed when he said, I don't know, 50? Like, that was a conservative number.
Jeez.
So, yeah. Yeah, and I know there are stores that do less and stores that probably do more. But if that's an average store, there are a lot of people every day getting that bivalent booster, which we know that Pfizer even admitted months and months ago was going to be twice as strong as the first booster was. And now it's that and then some. And they had I forget where it was now. It might have been the UK. I ran the story the other day that people who got the bivalent booster were almost twice as likely to die as those who had just gotten the original Wuhan booster or whatever they're called.
Mm.
I don't know. Anyway, so it's definitely stronger. It's definitely, it's a knockout punch. Okay, over in Japan, something big is kind of breaking over there, and this is something you may or may not hear about at all, and probably won't. Japan has launched an official investigation into millions of COVID vaccine deaths. Right, this is a story from Hal Turner. Let me read just a bit of this. Japan has launched an official investigation into the unprecedented numbers of people dying after receiving the COVID-19 vax. According to reports, Japanese researchers have been instructed to investigate the mechanisms by which experimental mRNA jabs could be causing deaths and severe adverse reactions. Hiroshima University School of Medicine professor Masataka Nagao, highlighted how the bodies of... Now, here you go. Remember it last week? Was it Wednesday? We talked about... When did we talk about the bodies, the temperatures of the deceased? Monday or Wednesday?
I don't know that we did talk about it yet.
Yeah, somewhere.
I mean, you and I did, but I don't know if we talked about it on the air.
Oh, we didn't?
I don't
think
so.
Well, there was a story. The first story was, and I believe it was out of the UK, that they were finding. Was it the UK?
No, I think it's been Japan all along.
Okay. Well, the first story said that the bodies that are in for autopsy of COVID victims, they don't identify them as vax victims, but COVID victims, some of them have been refrigerated for a week or two. I don't know how backed up they are there. But they didn't come in at room temperature right after dying to have an autopsy done. Anyhow, your normal body temperature is 98. Well, these people who had died were showing a body temperature days and weeks after death of between 91 and 93 degrees Fahrenheit. And you got to ask yourself.
More than that.
We're getting there. Hold on. That was the first story that you and I talked about that I guess we didn't bring to our listeners. So that was a kind of a mind number. What in the hell is going on with a dead body, a deceased body, that no longer has a metabolism, that has been at room temperature or worse in a refrigerator for who knows how long. And they pull it out and they do the autopsy, and the body temperature internally is 91 to 93. Well, back to the story that I've got here. Hiroshima University School of Medicine professor highlighted how the bodies of vaccinated persons he has performed autopsies on were abnormally warm, with upwards of over 100 degrees Fahrenheit. Over 100. He said the body temperatures were unusually high, such as blah, blah, blah. And then he goes on to say, it's the exact quote, temperatures were very high at the time of death. Their body temperatures were above the normal temperature, more like 104 degrees. So he says they died at 104, and yet when they come in for autopsy, they're still 100 degrees. How can that be?
That's very odd. And I'm wondering, is this a new thing? Because we haven't heard the embalmers mention anything like this.
I would think in a heartbeat, no pun intended, that an embalmer would notice a body temperature immediately if it was hot. These people are rigid. They've been through rigor mortis. They're cold. They're just
right.
Pliable. They're done. And yet they're still cooking off at 93, 94, or even higher. So what's going on?
According to the article, the autopsy doctor believes that there must be some sort of very intense immune response precipitating these people's deaths. So they're generating a fever that's just out of control. Now, the question is, why does it continue after they've died? And what occurs to me is probably these people are loaded, absolutely loaded with iron. We've heard Nurse Anne say that she's never seen ferritin levels this high, and ferritin is an indicator of your iron stores. And we know that dysregulation of iron, overloading of iron, is characteristic of people with spike poisoning. So I'm guessing that iron is somehow holding on to the heat that they were generating during their intense fevers, and
well,
it's still there.
Maybe,
based
but
on
if
the, just there must be enough iron there to still maintain enough of a temperature.
Question.
That's my guess.
If the body of these autopsied deceased are refrigerated, which is normal for preservation of a corpse until autopsy time rolls around, for a week or two or three, how do they heat up after that? That's one possibility. And the second is, maybe, let's call it the iron is somehow cooking the fat. There's some kind of a metabolic relationship between this cell-free, dissociated iron and the fat, the lipid fat in
the
cell.
Well, once the lipid peroxidation starts, it won't stop unless there's something to terminate it, some kind of antioxidant to terminate it. So it'll just keep going. It's a chain reaction.
So these people are, the fat in their bodies is actually cooking, and it may involve the iron that has been kicked loose by the spike protein's destruction of the red blood cells, wherein it separates the hemoglobin on one side and cuts the iron loose, which is not good. Unbound iron is not what you want in your body, and that goes floating off. And maybe when these people die, as Erica suggests, they have a tremendous amount of free-floating iron, which interacts with fat, lipid fat in the body, and causes
it
to
oxidize. Free radicals.
Yeah. That'll generate
heat. And so it's
heat.
Giving off a little bit of heat in that. I mean, not
Unless something else is going on that we don't know about. This is a very interesting
angle.
Well,
iron can retain heat. It's not a good conductor, but it can retain heat. So once it's heated up, you know, it can stay heated up.
For weeks in the fridge?
I guess. I don't...
I don't know.
It is odd.
The whole thing
is
very strange. Yeah.
Something's obviously oxidizing or burning or to create that heat.
Now, this was an absolutely fascinating story that first time I saw it and I mentioned it and we talked about it. I guess we didn't have time to get it in on Wednesday. Maybe that's what it was. Anyway, it was definitely on the schedule at one point. So we have corpses of the deceased, the spike victims, mRNA victims, dead, that are showing temperatures up around in the 90s, high 90s, mid to high 90s at time of autopsy. It's just, it's crazy. Let's see what they say here. In another report, dermatology, this guy's a dermatology expert, he's a prof, Sano of the Kochi University School of Medicine discussed discovering spike proteins at the site of skin lesions and other skin problems on patients who were vaxxed. Quote, the spike protein derived from the vaccine was found in the skin, Dr. Sano explained, highlighting a slide showing a bright green region on a lesion made visible by a special dye. So he's finding out that there's so much to this that is just still waiting to be discovered. Spike proteins are locally suppressing the immune system, Sano told reporters. As a result, the spike proteins facilitate in reactivation of the herpes virus. End quote. The process of the spike proteins degrading in the immune system prompts inflammation throughout the body that also leads to blood clots, Dr. Sano concluded. Well, there are other things causing blood clots, and are they made of blood or are they amyloid clots? The function of the spike proteins is to produce adverse reactions in the formation of blood clots, Sano explained. And even worse, spike proteins can also locally induce inflammation. Well, that's for damn sure. But I think he's missing part of the bigger picture. Nonetheless, they have a mystery on their hands. Now, there was a meeting. The Ministry of Health had a meeting and invited a number of doctors. And this is funny. I'm going to play this. It's got English overdubbed subtitles, so you'll hear an English voice parroting what the Japanese is saying. But some of the quotes from the doctors who are enraged about these officials from the government Ministry of Health are, "You idiot," said Dr. Fukushima. People are already doing research all over the world, Fukushima told health ministers during the conference earlier this month. Japan's prestige is at stake. You have vaccinated so many people, meaning you government people sitting at the head of the table here, and yet only 10% of the members of the Ministry of Health, Labor and Welfare, who are leading members of the vaccine campaign, have been vaccinated. Is this a joke? So he's pointing out the obvious, that they know not to get the shot, these Ministry of Health people. All right, so I'm going to play this real quickly here. Anything you want to add?
No, go ahead.
All right, here we go. Now, these doctors are so enraged because so many millions have died in Japan from the shot. And that's why I keep saying here, my call is 10 to 20 million dead, easy. Already. Simple to hide. Not a problem. Mm. All right, here we go.
So I am telling you, you've got to conduct an investigation.
All right, I'm going to have to start it again. Hold on. All right, this is Dr. Masanori Fukushima, professor emeritus at Kyoto University, warns the Ministry of Health about the vaccine. He's warning them. So here we go.
So I am telling you, you've got to conduct an investigation.
No doctor can make a medical diagnosis simply by looking at such a piece of paper. I'm saying that you must look at the medical reports and do a proper investigation. There's no question about it. Stop the bad science and do the right science. That's enough. Looks like you're trying to destroy evidence. Do the right thing, or you're just going to have a criminal lawsuit. Enough is enough. I don't care what you say. No one is going to be convinced by the process or bullshit things that you are talking about.
Well, of course, we will not only evaluate the result.
This is the Ministry of Health spokesman saying, well, of course, we will not only evaluate the results as they are.
As they are. We are trying.
You can't possibly have any way to evaluate it. What you need, clinically speaking, is that you need to look at the medical records properly, look at the data, and do it properly and carefully, one case at a time. People's lives are at stake.
Dr. Fukushima is shredding these guys. Typical bureaucrats.
Sir, we will make every effort to do so.
You idiot. Enough is enough. You have so many people here, but you are not getting anywhere. Lawmakers also came all the way here. You can't repeat this kind of thing. You should have started from the beginning with the proper scientific light. So, immediately, disband the ridiculous vaccine casualty evaluation committee. Instead, set up an investigation committee to investigate all cases. And to do so, you need to get proper statisticians and some decent experts. You understand? Then do some tests and investigations. As Dr. Sono said earlier, if you have samples of tissue, consider the process of spiked protein. People are already doing research all over the world. Japan's prestige is at stake. You have vaccinated so many people. And yet, only 10% of the members of the Ministry of Health, Labor and Welfare who are leading the vaccine campaign have been vaccinated. With the flocking joke is that, first of all,
said,
you need...
He said, what kind of an effing joke is that, is what he actually said. They didn't put it in the voiceover, but this Dr. Fukushima is really very unhappy.
Clarify this, immediately disband the Vaccine Casualty Evaluation Committee and investigate all the cases. You must identify all deaths and unreported deaths in the investigation. Thousands and tens of thousands of lives are at stake. And one more thing, we don't have any idea of the long-term side effects of this vaccine. The nanoparticles, taken into the body in large quantity, unceasingly produced by proteins. People are still sick. Still in bad physical condition. For some reason, suddenly people's blood pressure rises. For some reason, people suddenly get eczema. When we diagnose, we find spike protein. In the diagnosis is moving to the next phase. We need to stop vaccinating immediately and take care of the health of all cases. That's what this scientific paper also says. You bring in people who don't have a proper understanding of the cutting edge of science and...
There we go. That's the end of it. So, just to give you an idea of what's happening in Japan... They're losing millions of people. The Ministry of Health knows what's going on, and only 10% of those, ladies and gentlemen, took the shot. Okay? Same here. Same old song. Nothing really new. But interesting to see. Go ahead.
No, it'll be really interesting if we can get to the bottom of why these corpses are still warm. Not just
Absolutely.
Warm, but hot in some cases. I mean, are we going to be seeing spontaneous human combustion?
Boy, wouldn't that take the cake.
No, I've never heard of anything like this.
Go ahead.
No, you go.
Going back to what Dr. Nagao said, he said... In other bodies, temperatures were very high at the time of death. Their body temperatures were above the normal, more like around 104. But they died. They died. And that should have began the process of complete cool down, shutdown, and degradation of tissue integrity. That's what happens. So in this degradation process, is there an iron factor involved with lipids in the body, fat, that's causing them somehow to metabolize? Can iron do that after the fact of death? I don't see why it couldn't.
Well, it's a catalyst. Yeah,
that's right.
It's a catalyst. But I'm also, okay, when a body dies, you get this explosion of bacteria that begin to compost. the body. And now bacteria love iron. Iron is a growth factor for bacteria. So I don't... Is the fermentation process or putrefaction process giving off heat? I don't know.
Well, we're going to watch this.
Although if they're refrigerated, that should slow down that process anyway. I don't know. I'm mystified.
Yeah. And anyone out there, if you have any data on this or know anybody in the mortuary business, I'm not sure they want to take the temperature of someone who's died from COVID a month later, but you get the idea. This needs to be tracked because there's something going on. At least 93 to 94 degrees is normal for these COVID victims in many cases at autopsy to have a temperature like that. That's crazy.
We have not heard this up till now.
No.
And I would think if it was being encountered, we would have heard about it.
I agree.
It is odd.
Okay, we have a new variant, ladies and gentlemen, as if all of us weren't expecting this. We'll call it the XBB for short, the XBB variant. Take it away, Maestro.
So this is in the headlines because it's the latest variant. It was first detected in India this past summer, and apparently right now it makes up about 18% of the COVID cases here in the U.S., and they're making a fuss about it because it is slightly more evolved than the previous variant. It has acquired some traits that allow it to evade all antibody responses to date, and it seems to have undergone some sort of recombination event with prior variants, not necessarily another virus, but just variants, Omicron variants, that had come before it. So what this means is that this virus is gaining fitness. So over time, it's going to become endemic, and sooner or later, we're all going to be exposed to it. On the upside, when that happens, these things tend to be less lethal, more transmissible and less lethal.
But this is a synthetic, not a natural
No,
product.
It's natural. As far as they can tell, it's natural. It's naturally evolved. I mean, the original thing was a lab construct. But now they've seeded it, and they've taken away the immune systems, essentially, of all the people who have gotten injected. So this thing is... going to evolve faster than it ever would have with an immune-competent population.
Well, I meant going back to the original. That's synthetic. So, yes, this suggests that the massive number of people on this planet now, billions, who have been given AIDS by virtue of being injected with this bioweapon that is owned by the DOD Pentagon, are going to be wide open for innumerable kinds of viruses and bacteria. And this new XBB variant will have no problem finding homes very easily. You have AIDS, the door is open, you've got virtually no defenses. And that's what's happening out there.
Well, and they will be spreading it too, because quite often they will not manifest symptoms. I mean, they're getting to a point now where they can tolerate an infection with a virus without having symptoms.
Right.
At least the typical symptoms of, not feeling well, having a fever, aches, pains, that sort of thing.
Well, what were we talking about yesterday, the day before? Those 15 children in one particular case all had group A strep, and we think they were all vaxxed. That's another sign of... Yeah. Okay,
it is a sign of immune suppression. That's an opportunistic infection.
You bet. And what is group A strep? Just so you all know, it's also known as flesh-eating disease, all right? Or necrotizing fasciitis. That's another way to phrase it. Group A strep. So with all these bodies walking around, it's like a hotel. With all the rooms empty and no charge, these organisms are going to just move right in.
Yeah.
So
Yep.
You no longer have security
and
at your hotel.
With the excess iron, you know, that bacteria feeds on iron.
All too true. Okay, XBB variant. Oh, watch for it. Don't fear it. Learn about it. And it's hard to learn because they're lying to us night and day, nonstop.
Mm.
So we will not do that here ever, and you know that. So we'll give you the best and the most well-rounded dose of information we can as this thing continues to percolate. It's about ready to explode this year, I think, in terms of the death factor. We're just seeing a lot of people who are sick, and we're putting up more stories about despair. You'll see the word despair. I'm putting the word despair in front of those cases that are written by people, their posts on social media, who are dying, and they know it. They've come to terms with that. They've been so grievously injured by these shots, they know their time is about up, and they're posting. And we're calling those posts of despair. So
yeah,
watch
and quite
for
often these people have been forsaken by their own families, which makes it, you know, all the more tragic.
It's just dreadful. All right, we have a couple of those cases here. You want to go ahead and start? Despair 1 or Despair 2?
Yeah, okay.
Go ahead.
This is in the myocarditis group. A woman. I feel like I'm dying. I'm trying not to be morbid or dramatic, but just looking for information if possible. I've been sick for a while now, and I have a long list of other conditions. HEDS, MCAS, POTS, dysautonomia, positive ANA, myocarditis, pericarditis, costochondritis, gastroparesis, CFS/ME, and then some other secondary conditions, vertigo, eczema, very low blood pressure, Raynaud's syndrome, fluoroquinolone toxicity, interstitial cystitis or idiopathic cystitis, hormone imbalance, PCOS, leaky gut, gastritis, esophagitis, enterocolitis, and the list goes on and on. My question is, I feel like I'm dying because I can hardly move and have absolutely zero energy 24/7, and I'm in such pain all over. This just doesn't seem to be sustainable with life. I live in my bed and am, for the most part, about 95 to 99% bedridden. My body is constantly upset and has chronic inflammation. The wind can blow, and I'll get a sinus infection. I can't fight anything off. I can hardly roll over in bed without my heart racing to 150 beats a minute and have constant chest and heart pain, like a 1,000-pound truck is crushing it and sitting on it. I'm always tired and sleeping. Just writing this is taking a lot out of me. I'm on disability. I'm wondering, since my doctors won't talk about this much, how will I know if I'm dying? I'm contemplating taking out my 401k to help with my bills, etc., because I don't think there's much use in it if I won't live that long. My gut tells me I have a couple years left at the max, but I could be wrong, of course. I just don't see myself getting out of this, as I know, just have so many conditions, I don't see hope. And I'm trying to find a miracle cure of some kind of possible root cause. The heart damage, I fear, is permanent and my biggest hurdle to ever try to repair. I feel like I've tried everything. I'm sorry if people may take offense to this post sounding negative, but I'm genuinely wondering. But no one may know the answer. No one really knows. I followed Brooklyn Speaks on IG, Instagram, and I know she knew when it was time. Maybe I still have longer than I think. I hope so. But I'm just trying to be realistic and know speaking of death is usually not a topic people like to discuss. Much love, everyone. Thank you for reading. Not unlike the other one we read. Was it Monday?
No, that's what you get with these people, or anyone with a terminal illness, and this poor lady is just loaded, you get to a point where you begin to give up hope, and that's when the word despair begins to become applicable. Here's another one. Last night, I broke down to my boyfriend and told him, I don't think I'm going to live much longer. I got the you-know-what back on 10-18 of 22 for my job. Let me stop there. 10-18 of 22, right? That's October 18th. That's 3 months ago. Not even. Less than 3 months ago. I got the you-know-what on 10-18-22 for my job. Let's call it 11 weeks, 10 weeks. And ended up like this and couldn't even work. I started to feel better and the chest pain went away. And now it's back and I feel worse. My chest pain is constant and it feels like someone is stabbing me. I went to the cardiologist and he put me on Dilocor. I couldn't take it because of the side effects, so they switched me to metoprolol twice a day, 25 milligrams. Although it keeps my heart rate down, it makes my chest pain worse, and I get extremely dizzy, so I took myself off of it. Does anyone recommend anything else? You ready for this? I'm 27 years old and have four little girls, and I'm just so afraid of leaving them behind. So many people going into cardiac arrest. Anyone on this forum for the JJ, Johnson & Johnson, and feel any better? These things are absolutely egregious, horrible. And this is, if they wanted to kill 80% of the planet, they could not have picked a more diabolically demonic, sinister, evil, satanic way to do it than this incredibly sophisticated weapon called the mRNA vaccination. Yeah, it's a lie.
It's hideous.
It's goddamn, you know, lie, all of it.
It's cruel. It's beyond cruel. Deplorable.
So these, and just think of all the people who don't know about social media, who don't post, who are ashamed or otherwise not predisposed to sharing their personal issues. We don't hear anything from them. They just die a quiet, miserable, agonizing death. Remember these people who have myocarditis and I guess pericarditis too? They have chest pain. And it's not just a little twitch. It's a major pain. Like there's a truck parked on their chest.
Yeah.
Exactly. So whoever did this is not human by any stretch of the imagination. This is not. They could find 100 other ways to kill off people without making them suffer like this. And there are writers out there who have suggested to me and to others, and maybe you've read some of their works over the years, that the evil ones lust on our suffering. They love it. Hence, wars, mass death, whatever. They like suffering. Emotions, they call it. I don't know what the hell's going on here, but these people are just in absolute horrific misery. And this woman is 27. She's got four little girls. Imagine how she's torn up into pieces inside. What's going to happen to my babies? What's going to happen to my family? This is unbelievable.
And it's happening. I mean, it's more and more.
Yeah, it's
There's
escalating.
There's no shortage of stories like this right now. None.
It's compounding rapidly. The avalanche is underway. All right, where do you want to go next?
Let's go to shedding. How about hope is not a strategy?
Are we still on the first block?
Yes. It's right after despair.
Okay, let me go back up. Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. I've been reading these posts for weeks. There's no way to avoid this shedding. It seems people are likely to be dying en masse soon unless, and this is where I'm putting my money, a solution or a cure is found. I appreciate everyone's concerns in different situations, but this is a time for hope and faith, not pessimistic outlooks. Since the day we take our first breath, our last one is inevitable. So chill out, have faith, follow your heart, and enjoy the ride. The paranoia is getting in the way of your purpose. And someone's reply to that is, hope is not a strategy.
Okay. There have been a lot of people saying things about hope. And it's a very difficult word to assess and apply in these cases because it can mean different things to different people. All right. Lack of empathy?
There,
go ahead.
Go up to... death from shedding.
Okay. All right. Just want to let you guys know, don't dismiss the shedding cough. I'm going to say that again. I want you to hear that. Just want to let you guys know, do not dismiss the shedding cough. And I think many of you have heard the shedding cough. I have. I can pick it up easily.
Mm.
It's a little different. It's not like a normal cough. My partner of 15 years, she's a woman, this is a lady, writing about her partner, of 15 years, unvaccinated, caught a cough by staying with a 4 times jabbed aunt who had a really bad cough about 6 weeks ago. The cough stayed in her partner of 15 years. It turned into a cough with occasional vomiting. 3 weeks later, he was diagnosed as having metastatic cancer. Also, innumerable lung tumors, black skin lesions, a 23-millimeter liver lesion, and a broken rib from the cancer spreading to his bones. And he lost over 40 pounds in 10 days. Just unbelievable. He was perfectly healthy 3 weeks ago. 3 weeks ago. Died last night at 11:11, only 49 years old. I'm just stunned, probably in shock and denial. But take care of that effing turbo cancer cough. He was unvaxxed and untested. I feel like I'm in a dream. Oh, and my uncle, partner of that aunt who had the bad cough, got sudden lung cancer after the third jab, about 8 months ago. He's on immunotherapy now and hasn't grown much more cancer in the last 2 scans. He'd had a scan for pneumonia about 2 months earlier and was said to be clear. So, the shedding cough. If you hear anyone coughing around you, exhalation is plenty. Aerosolization of the immediate area around anybody who's been shot up is going to have spike protein and potentially mRNA in it as well. You want to breathe that in? That's why we still encourage people to wear a mask when you're out and about. Not in your car alone. Not when you're walking alone. No, but if you're in a busy store, yes. Go ahead.
I was just going to say that the cough could be any number of things. Tuberculosis.
Right. Anything. Good point. Very good.
So, yeah. All right, it continues, and someone says, thanks for sharing the truth. It's cut off. And then they say, we just have no idea what self-spreading toxins we are dealing with. This is just insane. I'm out of sequence here. Now someone says, it's EMF radiation, graphene oxide, heavy metals, amongst other things. Well,
they won't give up that graphene oxide, the poor people. I feel sorry for them. They just it's not hydras. It's not graphene oxide.
It's not any of the other things that are put out there for misdirectional purposes. It's the spike protein. Okay, that's primarily it. And that spike is turning loose massive amounts of iron in your bloodstream and your body, and that iron is not something you want running free.
No, EMF radiation makes everything worse. So, yes, that's a part of it, but it is not everything here. That spike protein is the toxin. All right, so start detoxing slowly, naturally, and consistently. Black seed, oil, tulsi, holy basil tea, stinging nettle tea, all essential, 3 times a week, detox baths, Epsom salts, hydrogen peroxide. Start taking tissue salts for inflammation, number 4, number 5 for radiation help, and number 8 for magnesium. If you have no cough symptoms, once a week nebulizer with colloidal silver. And if you have symptoms, do it daily.
I don't know. I don't want you all to start chasing those things as being any kind of a complete remedy.
No, I think it belittles and diminishes the significance of the toxic effects of the spike. This is a serious metabolic toxin.
Oh, it's so evil. It is, and all of you who have been with us for any length of time know full well how diverse it is in its ability to destroy life. It's astounding. All right, here's the next part in that run. So terribly sorry for your loss. I've been trying to warn my sister, who was around vaxxed people all the time, and her grandchildren, who are vaccinated. Ugh. She's constantly suffering from massive, massive brain fog and is struggling to keep her head on what she's doing in each moment. Has become extremely forgetful. I'm so worried for her. And someone asks, what in the world are they putting in these jabs? I'm sorry for your loss. How long was he with his aunt? Just wondering. I now seem to get shedding symptoms just from going to the grocery store. It wasn't so bad before. I think toxins are building up in public indoor places. And I think I can speak for Erica. We agree.
Yeah, there's more of it around. There's no question.
I lost an unjabbed family member to similar symptoms several months after the other family member got the jab. That family member who got the jab died 18 months later. I wonder daily who is going to drop dead next.
And last one, talking about lesions. My friend has lesions in the brain, and so far doctors could not find out what caused it. It's been almost a year. His family is all vaxxed, except for him. I can't help thinking that this is shedding. It could be that spike does go into the brain.
Oh,
you know, the
other
thing that it does is, because of the interference with the immune system, it's able to reactivate latent viruses, and the most common being these herpes viruses that we're hearing about now, the shingles and the herpes simplex 1, and to some extent the Epstein-Barr. But there's ones that tend to go in the brain, which can be cytomegalovirus, CMV virus, and the other one is JC virus, which is actually a polyoma virus. But if those awaken because a person is immune suppressed, it can go in the brain and destroy the brain. I mean, there's a condition called, progressive multifocal leukoencephalopathy, PML, and it's associated with that JC virus, which everybody has, by the way, but it's latent and very rarely does a person ever have a problem with it in their lives unless something happens to their immune system, and then they've got a problem.
Here's one more. We've got the top dating dilemma. If you monitor these boards, you're going to see people asking the same questions. Gee, my boyfriend's been injected. Is it okay? I haven't. Is it okay if I have sex with him? Things like that.
They just don't understand. So, all right, here. Thank you for the welcome. I have a question. My ex-boyfriend is back, double jab now. I'm scared of shedding. Is there any science of shedding passed on after a year of being jabbed? Help. I'm so upset he did this. Her ex-boyfriend is back, double jabbed. And there's a discussion of just three little things here. Have you experienced any symptoms from intimacy? She says, I haven't been intimate yet after him being jabbed. And a person offers, he's going to shed. You shouldn't be with him, unfortunately. So that's it. This is absolutely destroying civilization as we have known it. It is destroying the species, how it interacts with each other, how it actually plays its role out in any cultural society that it may, wherever there are people and countries. It's destroying the male-female relationship basis, the lack of trust there. People are lying now all the time. It doesn't have to be male-female. It can be any relationship, just friends, work companions. It doesn't matter. If you have a vaxxed opposite person near you in your physical vicinity, you need to think about that. How much risk do you feel like taking?
And we had this, someone posted this as a response to her question. And this was a post from last year that we read, but it's worth reading again just to drive the point home. And this was a woman's experience in the similar situation. I have slept with my partner, who is now my ex. I got it from my ex through sperm. I could feel ill in my ovaries almost immediately, a burning feeling, followed by extreme reaction of migraine, stomach ache, diarrhea. I lost my period for 3 months. I had chest pain, kidney pain, ear infections, and wake up soaking wet with a fever and cold sweat. I did pass it on to my kids through hugging. It sheds through bodily fluids, saliva, breast milk, touch, skin particles, sweat. Any DNA exchange will cause it. Stay away from vaccinated, no matter how much you love them. Their DNA is corrupted, and it will disrupt yours. I don't know how long. If you ever saw Chernobyl series, it's so similar to radiation. You cannot touch or be near the infected without consequences with their severity, depending on the amount, intensity, and the length of the exposure. My boy suffered skin rash, spontaneous bleeding, tremors, groin pain, chest pain, trouble breathing. We are not coming close to any people or even their pets anymore, since we don't know who is vaccinated and who is not. We order food for delivery to avoid walking in supermarkets. COVID is childish, a bad A or B flu for unhealthy people. It's a game compared to this.
All right. Very good. Well, we have to say goodnight to everyone. Thank you for being here. Thank you for caring. And thank you for listening. And we hope you can make the best of this information to help protect you and your loved ones, no matter what their back status is. Be careful. Thanks, Erica. Talk soon.
Okay, Jeff. Thank you. My pleasure. Good night, everyone.
All right. We'll pause and come right back with more.